and welcome to day six of the World Cup Minute. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, I think it's time. We have to admit that the U.S. men's team is good? Italics, question mark?
I'm still not sure we can score. But outside of that, everything else I think is pretty good. It was just a really impressive performance. I mean, going into this match, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I mean, I sort of felt like they were kind of better at us at every position, including managerially. And now I don't know. I mean, it was those things probably, you know, can still be true, but that England team, I don't really understand what happened with them today. I mean, that was about as flat as they're ever going to look. And I think we deserve some credit for that, obviously. But I mean, the U.S., they were so organized. Like, that was what really surprised me more than anything else was, you know, we were able to overcome Walker Zimmerman. And I think that's huge. I mean, he tried to make it. Mm-hmm. He tried to give England a chance late. And maybe if Kane scores in that on that free kick that resulted from another Zimmerman mistake, we would be, singing a different song right now. But
I think in this match, Zimmerman was made better by Tim Ream and Matt Turner continuing to have a good tournament. Mm-hmm. And Zimmerman, I think he can play a little looser because he can, you know, there is some trust. And watching Matt Turner, especially against England, he looks like a world-class goalkeeper. I mean, back up at Arsenal, you wonder for how much longer before Arsenal maybe send him out on loan. They would want to keep Matt Turner as a cup keeper. This is going to be a Homer episode of the World Cup.
Just get ready.
We're just going to own the fact that we're American. Sorry for all of our Ecuadorian listeners out there.
I mean, England in North America, or England and the United States are two largest audiences. So I think this is fairly interesting territory for a lot of it. It was also the featured match of the day, right? It was the final game of the day. And I think I was really impressed with Turner as well. Yeah, it could be like an Emi Martinez situation. It's kind of funny because Zach Steffen is the one who, is a backup for Ederson. But there were some like Ederson-ish moments from Turner today. Just so patient with the ball, right?
Yeah. When he's got the ball at his feet and he's got the confidence to dink it around an oncoming attacker and play the smart pass. I agree. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Our friend Mike Crowder would be crediting Mikel Arteta. Like, that was pure Arteta ball being played by Matt Turner there. But I wonder with England. First of all, it was the chat amongst our like always cheating like side community. There were a lot of UK folks in our Slack chat forum, and it was just all dour, sad comments and continually calling the match dull, drab, a boring affair. And I was trying to reconcile myself with that because I was thrilled for 90 minutes.
Me too. I watched it with about 10 people in my house, and we were screaming for 90 minutes.
Yeah. Of course, because we're U.S. fans, and the match is going to feel right out of the gate, it's going to feel more thrilling and engaging from the American point of view because the U.S. had the better of the attacking opportunities, held a lot of the ball through great stretches of the game, and seemed to actually be a bit more cavalier. So then you get to the question you just asked, Josh, of like, you don't know what happened with England. This is what I believe English fans have been complaining about for the last 2 years with Gareth Southgate and his dogmatic pragmatism. And I just wonder if, not just for one game, if Southgate just committed to some sort of all-out attack version of this England team, it could be like a generational moment. Americans were just like, we were gasping to get Gio Reyna on the pitch. You look at the English bench, they've got Rashford, Foden, Grealish, all of this incredible attacking talent that can't get a look. And one of the first substitutions that Southgate makes is Jordan Henderson, a guy who's over the hill, club legend at Liverpool, obviously, but not game-changing substitutions. They are all like-for-like substitutions with Southgate.
As soon as I saw Henderson, on the sideline, and you're like, all right, they're bringing out 35-year-old Jordan Henderson, that's when you're like, okay, he's fine with the draw today, right? Like, clearly – and maybe that's actually unfair because I actually thought the subs that England made – I thought Jack Grealish really made a difference out there, and it was kind of terrifying if he had played the full 90. Well, this is kind of the story in general, which is, you know, I mean, Harry Kane misses a couple of pretty big opportunities in today's match, and, you know, it sounds like he's not totally at 100% health-wise, and, like, maybe you should have just started Callum Wilson, right? Like, maybe you thought this stuff's all easy in hindsight, and Harry Kane can do other things besides just score, obviously. But I think that it felt like maybe this was a roster that was in need of a little bit of a shakeup from one match to the next. And I don't know. I mean, again, it's like it's so hard to look at a match once it's over and use that hindsight bias. I mean, it's basically the same England team that just, you know, walloped Iran 6-2, right? And so it's hard to look at that and say, oh yeah, he needed to make radical, drastic changes to this to face this U.S. squad.
So what's the domino theory here, Josh? England wallops Iran, U.S. draws with Wales, and England, Iran, I wouldn't say wallop, but handles Wales.
That game should have been. While you're talking, I want to go to the XG philosophy Twitter feed and see what the XG was, because it felt like Iran had like 7 golden opportunities. It's a like miracle for them. They ended up scoring twice in the 99th and 100th minute or whatever, because it was just like opportunity after opportunity. It was a great thing for us to wake up to. I don't know about you, but when I woke up and saw that Iran had won, I was delighted. Yeah. I mean, it kind of made today's match a free roll, right? It was like just don't lose by more than 4 goals, and you're kind of in the driver's seat going into the final match.
And from the England point of view, I mean, I expect they're going to put Wales in a coffin when they play.
After that, yeah.
And so England are through. I would say that that's a certainty as much as you can say that. And then it's kind of like it's the taste of World Cup, Josh. U.S. going up against Iran with everything on the line. And a match that I think is much harder to predict. I think the very tetchy draw that happened between the U.S. and England, it wasn't impossible to expect that outcome. I think American fans were cautious going into that match, and England fans do what they do. But I will say, coming out of that match, it was married with my expectations for the U.S. going into the World Cup, or my desire was just play with pride and give us some building blocks for 2026 when North America hosts the World Cup. We have 4 years now to get this squad of U.S. players to figure out how to score goals. And if we can do that, the predictions are going to be out of this world going into 2026, semifinals or bust for the American team.
Let's see us make it out of the round into the round of 16 at least. But now I think, I mean, you know, if we can briefly look ahead to that U.S. Iran match now, I mean, first of all, it's certainly no guarantee that we're going to win that game. I still worry about our ability to score goals in matches.
I agree.
And, you know, we had 7 corner kicks practically in a row, it seemed like, in the second half, and none of them really did anything. And so we'll see what happens in that. And Iran, you know, was run over by England the first time they played, and then Iran looked, you know, really good today. And so which version are we going to get on Tuesday? I don't know. But I think that game now is incredibly exciting. And it's kind of fun to know what the stakes are. It's incredibly binary for us. A draw guarantees that we're out, because we would have 3 points, and draw would give Iran 4, and England already has 4. And so they would be through. And a win effectively guarantees that we're through as well, because we'd have 5, Iran would have 4. Yeah. I guess you could even a win would be fine, because if Wales drew, then if Wales drew with England, then Wales would still only have 4 points and we'd have more. So basically, if we win that game, there is no chance we don't go through, and we could either finish first or second in the group, most likely second. If we draw, we're out. If we lose, we're out. And so, boom, there's your stakes. Very clean and easy. Tuesday at 2 p.m. I know you're in a meeting, but I'm going to be watching this game. I'm really looking forward to it. And so you got to move this meeting, right? You got to talk to the president of your company. You know, get this thing moved.
Yeah, you know, there will be calendars being adjusted, being torn down and rebuilt over the next few days. I'm sure of it. And I mean, and it's great to not have a bunch of dead rubbers already. We know there are going to be some huge games in the final phase. So generally feeling good about this U.S. result. What else happened today?
Yeah, so we had the group one round two matches as well. Senegal, and again, like basically guaranteed that there's still stakes, right? Because Senegal defeats Qatar 3-1, fairly dominant performance. Like, I suppose I'm happy for Qatar that they just scored a goal in the World Cup. It would have been kind of depressing if they didn't even.
You don't have to say that. It's fine.
Yeah, okay. Well, I did. It was an authentic feeling that I had, so I'm expressing it here on the podcast. And then you had Netherlands, Qatar, and Netherlands are
Netherlands, Ecuador.
And excuse me, of course, Ecuador. And Netherlands are, in my opinion, incredibly lucky to have escaped with a draw in that match. Ecuador looked excellent. Like, you were talking yesterday about what kind of version of Ecuador we were going to see today, but they look good. Like, it's not just Enner Valencia. If he's seriously injured, I'm not sure. They took him off in the stretcher, but then he sat on the sidelines afterwards. So, you never know. The stretcher does not mean anything.
He's just enjoying being treated like royalty. if you could get, it's like a king being escorted from one chamber to the next on those chairs that people carry. I think he's milking this injury just for transportation reasons.
Yeah, it was like he's the 11th time he's gone down in these first two games.
Yeah.
But I think that I think Ecuador looks really solid. I'm really impressed with how much they were going for it in that match, even after they drew. I mean, it's just watching these World Cup games. It's a lot different than watching club football, right? Because you have to. There has to be a strategic component to the way that you play, right? And so near the end of that match, it's pretty clear that a draw suits both sides fairly well, right? Yeah. Both teams already had a win. They both have 4 points here in the next group. They both likely could lose their next match and still go through. Yeah. So there was really no reason to absolutely go for it at the end of that at the end of that game. And it's useful to remember that watching these matches. Sometimes it seems like the games can get very dull, but it really just makes a lot of practical sense for them to do that. Yeah. And we'll see even more of that in the third round. Certainly.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we predicted it, Josh. The story of this World Cup is going to belong to Cody Gakpo. And
the young guys. I mean, how old is Gakpo? He's like 22 or something, right?
This is age centric World Cup minute this week. I love it.
Well, he's only, but it just, no, I mean that in a positive way though. He's 23 and it just, it feels like we're just seeing a lot of exciting young players from lots of different countries emerge. And that is fun. And, I think that it's something that I am sort of really looking forward to. It's funny how when you get older, you'd think like you'd have a, it would be weird to be, in your 30s and 40s watching these 19-year-olds. Like at some point you'd be like, oh, this is dumb. But to me, it's like, I enjoy it. It's like at some point it stops becoming any kind of vicarious thing even, or maybe it's more vicarious. I don't really know. It's just this feeling like, great. Like they're out there having fun. I'm enjoying watching them play. Like there's no element of oh, this isn't my generation of players anymore. Mm-hmm. I like the pure sport of it. I'm really into it. It's just fun. It feels good for the health of the game to see all these really young, exciting players emerge.
And then you stop and you start to think about the idea of eternity and mind reels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll talk more about black holes later and their time warping effects. So I think Ecuador and Netherlands, I think they're – We'll see. I mean, you know, I suppose Senegal-Netherlands now is a match that it feels very – Ecuador to me should be wait, Senegal? No, Senegal-Netherlands already played. And so now correct. We have Ecuador. Yeah, Qatar-Netherlands. You just see Netherlands will win that match. And so Ecuador-Senegal, Brandon, is you know, the match for all the marbles. And, you know, I suppose Ecuador just needs to play for a draw in that match. But, you know – obviously, Senegal is really going to be going for it, and so yeah. I doubt that match ends 0-0. I think we'll see a couple of goals on both, you know, at least a goal on both sides for that.
Yeah, one. For sure. And credit to Senegal. This is a theme through the Always Cheating mm-hmm. podcast. There is always a hashtag credit to, and I think Senegal. When that Qatar goal goes in, you could feel deflated, but they just came back and wrestled control of the match. Back again, and I'm glad to see them on the verge of possibly getting out of the group and having a good tournament without Sadio Mane. And I think their kits look beautiful. I think I will give Senegal the kit of the day. The less we say about the U.S. and England kits, the better. I believe that neither of these teams are destined to win the tournament because we cannot make these kits. We can't make statues of players, and we can't immortalize these kits in team photographs. They're that bad. So those are the losers. Senegal is the winner. Netherlands, I'm sorry, you can't win every time you wear your all-orange kit, but I'll mention you.
All right, well, let's move on to Sunday or Saturday's match. Excuse me, it's one of those. It's a holiday weekend here in the U.S., so it's a Friday that feels like a Saturday, Brandon, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Saturday's matches, we have, I'm delighted to see that Tunisia-Australia is the 5 a.m. game tomorrow. I know we've got Australian listeners, but that is a match where the stakes are somewhat low. I mean, I'm glad that Australia got that opening, because they had that, like, fun 30 minutes in that France game. Yeah. That's the early match on Saturday. And then the other group is, the other part of Group C is France-Denmark. And I'm sort of curious to see if France can replicate how well they looked in the Australia match. I mean, I think that they it's interesting to – I wonder if, maybe there is something about just having Benzema out maybe simplifies things for them a little bit, right? And they know exactly how they want to play now. And, I don't know. I mean, in Denmark, I think they had a slightly disappointing draw in their opening match. But I still am really a believer in this Denmark team. And I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if Denmark got some kind of results out of this game.
Yeah, it's going to be a test for France. If France are going to be as good as they are predicted for this tournament, they are going to have to get through Denmark. And if they do, if they're able to push Denmark aside, then I think that that's actually putting a marker down for the France side. But now you have a perfect opportunity for the Danish to reestablish themselves as dark horse teams, even if they can hold for a draw or a very tight 1-0, 2-1 loss. That could be horrible for Denmark's chances of getting out of the group, but still decent enough for the federation.
Yeah, and they may still be okay too, because they have the Australia match to be played still as well. Yep. So even a loss isn't necessarily a killer for them. Yep. I mean, poor Australia. I mean, but it's just that is, unfortunately, there are a few sides that are weaker than the others, Brandon. This is not,
not necessarily a judgment. These are just facts, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is not. Yeah, exactly. It's a beautiful country that I want to visit very soon. And by the way, that's Group D, not Group C. The other matches are the Group C matches on Saturday. And those are the ones that I am super excited about. I mean, Poland-Saudi Arabia is classic World Cup match. Would not necessarily set my my YouTube TV to record this one if it was played in February, but I think this is going to be really exciting to see if Saudi Arabia can. I saw they declared a national holiday after the Argentina win, and so it's a huge match for them. If they beat Poland, if they win that game, then wow, the stakes are super high, especially for Mexico, and you wonder if Mexico could. Get a result. They play the final match on Saturday. They play Mexico Argentina, which now is the stakes are incredibly high for both squads. Really exciting.
I am clearing out a bunch of episodes of Fixer Upper on my YouTube TV to make room for Poland, Saudi Arabia. I'm pressing thumbs down on a lot of episodes of Monk to make room for some World Cup recordings. I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, I think this could be for Group C. You look to like hit a hard reset in favor of the favorites, where Poland get a result against Saudi Arabia and Argentina get a result against Mexico. The stakes are easily highest for Argentina, picked as tournament favorites, and they lose to Saudi Arabia. Mexico is definitely not the team you want to see come up next in the hat if you're Argentina, because they're a vintage tournament team, and they're gonna harry you and make life very difficult.
A lot of veterans in that squad. Yeah.
On the other hand, this is not by any stretch a strong Mexican side, and if Argentina just get their heads on straight, I think they could steamroll them.
Yeah, I think they could too, and maybe that's in some ways the most likely result that we see. But I think that it's pretty interesting. I think the question with Mexico is whether they can score. It's kind of the same question the U.S. has, right? Which is sort of they can do a lot of things right, but can they actually finish? And I don't know. We'll see. I mean, if Argentina continues to play tight every year, every World Cup, there's one favorite, one like top five favorite that seems to go out early, and in some years there's many, but it feels like Germany may fall into that camp as well this year. But I think that the pressure is really on Argentina tomorrow, and I don't know. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, like you said, it's probably like the last squad they wanted to play. I thought Poland would be a little bit easier, but Mexico's gonna be way up for this game, and Mexico's gonna be solid enough that it's hard to imagine a scenario where Argentina just steamroll them 4-0. Right? It feels like it's gonna be a way tighter match than that.
Okay, so we've covered it. World Cup Minute, what happened today, what happened tomorrow. We didn't talk about Christian Pulisic.
Okay, yeah.
What did you think of Pulisic's performance against England?
If that crossbar ball is 4 inches lower, we're talking about him as having his greatest ever moment as a U.S. player. And, you never know, like, the butterfly effect of that goal, right? Mm-hmm. It sort of does it kind of like the Canada-Belgium game a couple days ago. If they score that pen early on, how does that change the result? And so I don't want to assume that if he'd scored that goal, we win 1-0. But that's what he brings to the table, right, is a little bit of specialness. I think other than that, I felt like he was – I don't know. I mean, I thought it was a really great team performance, and he's part of the team. Yeah. And so I thought that he did some good things. I feel like when I talk about the U.S. being unable to score, it's hard for me to be too grumpy about him because he's the one who created that amazing opportunity for Tim Weah in the opening match. But someone's got to get in the box for this U.S. team, right? Like, somebody's got to do something in there. I don't know. I felt like there was an opportunity late where he passed it when he should have shot it. I don't know. What did you think?
I thought it was a great match for him. I think it was a very good match for him. However, I agree with the fact that you put it as it was an exceptional team performance. And this is something I'm starting to come away with as a big overriding theme for the tournament. We can kind of close the episode on this, and I think this is something we can look for, is, complaining about Southgate not playing his best attacking players. Why isn't Berhalter giving more minutes to Reina or Aronson? What we're seeing are systems. Some systems are flourishing in the World Cup. Other systems are not quite working at the moment. But it's a lot of nations choosing a system, picking the players that fit that system. There's I'm blanking on his name. There's a Japanese player at Celtic who is a standout at Celtic, but was not selected for the Japan side because the manager said he does not fit within the system that we play. And then you see Japan come out and get the result that they do, and you say systems work. And for whatever we're saying about Berhalter, whatever English fans would say about Southgate, these systems are battle ready and are being battle tested. And I'm getting a bit more sympathy for what it's like to be in charge and to manage a national team. It's not easy, especially when you've got huge pools of talent.
No, and it's hard to come away from that match. Honestly, what you should have asked me is what I think about Berhalter, right? Because that's almost the answer you gave there. I think I'm feeling a little better as well. I still feel like the introduction, you know, if you introduce some of the attacking talent they brought in, right, Reyna and
Aronson, probably
Aronson,
late. Shaq Moore.
I didn't think Shaq Moore did anything.
He was not. Yeah. He did not add. I agree with you.
Yeah. But I thought that Aronson and Reyna added something. And Reyna won a foul late. I feel like they could have done something more in that foul.
They blew that for sure. Yeah.
But I felt like it would have been interesting to see what they did in 20 minutes or 30 minutes of that game. But it's hard for me to come out of this match thinking, oh, yeah, like – this is a, you know, that like we blew it, or like we, you know, we could have, I mean, it's hard not to feel like we could have scored at least. I mean, but again, you don't know how, like, again, you just don't know. It's very frequently that we've seen this multiple times in this World Cup, right? One team scores one goal and completely changes the chemistry of a game, right? You know, team goes out there and scores an equalizer or multiple goals, I'm sure thereafter, like in the, like with the France Australia game. So you just never really know how a goal is going to impact things. And so I don't want to assume that if we had scored in the 60th minute that we would have won this game. So I think if you told me a 0-0 draw was our result going into today, I would have snatched it from you, you know, absolutely, especially considering what happened in the Wales game. Now we control our destiny. So I'm coming out of it feeling pretty good. And like a friend of mine who was watching the match with me today said, you should have to win a game to get through your group. And like, yeah, we got to beat Iran. And if we can't beat Iran, then we don't really deserve to go through anyway. Three point, you know, I don't want three draws. I want one actual win to get us through. And so, you know, if we don't win, then that's fine. You know, we've already have not embarrassed ourselves, right? We're going to come out of this with two draws against two quality squads. Even if we lose to Iran next Tuesday, it's not going to feel like our, first of all, we've already had our worst ever performance because I was, you know, I remember Italy 2008, right? And we finished 32 out of 32 squads. So I've already seen that happen. That's not going to happen this time around. So I don't think. I don't think it's unlikely anyway. So, so I'm feeling pretty good going to next Tuesday's match.
Great. Well, let's go out there and seize our destiny. And that is our advice to our listeners as well. You know, outside of the World Cup, you've got destinies. Go seize them. Also, rate, review, and subscribe to the World Cup Minute and share with all your friends. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe for audio. If you're listening on audio, go watch us on YouTube.
Perfect. All right. Talk to you soon, Brandon. Bye.
Bye.